Next speaker, Klaus Höpfner, will teach us how to set up tables in lab.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Please. I've had the talk. Okay, so the second English talk today. I want to give a short beginner's level presentation on typesetting tables with LaTeX. Originally given on the Practicing Tech conference in San Diego. After the short basics, I will present some extension packages that support typesetting tables with LaTeX, the array package TabularX. I will speak a bit about alignment of the contents of the table cells, something about lines and tables, and last but not least, tables across multiple pages. Okay, I assume that if you read a beginner's book on LaTeX, you will find the basic commands on typesetting tables, and you probably know you can define several columns in a table, you can tell how they are aligned, whether they are left aligned, centered, or right aligned. You can even define paragraph-like table cells where you have to give a width of the cell. You divide the table rows by the normal double backslash command or by the command backslash tabular new line, as I will show later. And there are some special cases. You can define how the inter-column space looks like if it shall be replaced by something else, by this add command. This is explained in the proceedings. So, beginning with tables is quite easy, and but if you do this and you start to proceed, and I assume all of you are using LaTeX and Tech because you want to produce high quality documents, then you will come to some limits with the things that the standard LaTeX offers, and you want something more. And so let's have a look on some supporting packages. Most of them are already paid part of standard LaTeX, of the required part, so they have to be part of any LaTeX installation. First of them is the array package that adds two paragraph like new columns that are vertically centered or centered or aligned to the bottom of the paragraph. That's the M and B column types, yes. And it allows the definition of commands that are automatically added before and or after the contents of every cell in this column, and that saves a lot of work for the author of the article. The TabularX package allows you to define columns that grow automatically, and so the width is calculated during typesetting. The BookTabs package I will present gives some fancy commands on using lines and tables. And last but not least, but unfortunately, I won't be able to focus on this in this talk due to time limitation, is the color table package, but I will give a reference where you can look it up. So, imagine you want to typeset the following table. You have a table where you want to have in the left column, you want to typeset the commands you can use to use Greek symbols in mass mode. So in the left column you want to have a command in typewriter font with a backslash before, and in the right column you want to typeset the stuff in mass mode, and you can of course typeset the table by using text backslash text tt alpha in the first row, then text backslash text tt beta in the second row, and so on and so on. But that's a bit annoying for the author, and it doesn't make your LaTeX sources more readable. So you can use the array package, and in the array package you have two new commands the greater command and the less command, and if you use the greater command before the definition of a column, then the argument of this greater command is automatically inserted before the contents of the cells in this column. So if I want to have text, the typewriter font in the first column, I just say greater and then in braces TT family, and then I always want to have a text backslash, so I use the text backslash command. So I have to define it only once. And the same is for the second column, I want to typeset it in always in mass, so I say greater and then the dollar sign, and after the C for the centered column, I say less dollar, and automatically the dollar is used to switch into mass mode when entering the second column, and after the second column, the dollar is used again automatically to leave the mass mode. So, and then you get a problem because you have here a title line, and you don't want to have the title line be in TT family for the command or be in mass mode. That looks a bit strange if you typeset symbol in mass mode. So you want to have the title line with this automatic prefix and postfix commands, and here I just misused or abused the multi-column command to replace one cell with another cell without this TT family text backslash and so on. So, and this saves a lot of work, and if you want to typeset, for example, all Greek letters, then it saves a lot of time. Okay. So, the next example where you can use the tabular X command is a table where you can see you have one column, the left one. In this case, you want to take up the space that it needs to typeset these labels 1, 2, 3, and so on. And then you want that this table is along the whole text width, so along a defined width, and you want to take the second column, be filled with all these paragraphs defined here, and using all the space that is left over by the first column. And if you remember, you can define a P column, but you have to give a width. So with standard LaTeX, you can't do it. But there exists a tabular X package where you have a new column type, and this column type is defined with a big X for the extended column, and this is just simply a paragraph column that gets automatically all the widths it can take up to fill to typeset the table in the given widths. So you just say you want to have a tabular X along the whole line width, and say the first column is left centered and the second column is just an X column, and then you get this result that the second column takes all the space that is left over by the first column. So that is really a big big improvement of standard LaTeX, that you can have this tabular X package. If you use paragraph-like columns in your tabular X environments, you will often occur and get the problem that your columns become quite narrow, and the typesetting narrow texts and both left and right justified text is not always the best, because you get big interword spacing. And so you normally want to set it in regular white. And just remember, using the array package, you can just define, before you enter this column, just add the regular white command, and the paragraph that is following after that will be typeset flush left, and so it looks a bit better. But if you try it, you will get a problem. You will get very weird error messages, and the reason is that regular white redefines the double backslash command. So, and this leads to the problem that LaTeX won't recognize the double backslash command as the end of the table row anymore. And you get some strange looking error messages saying you have too many columns in your table, simply because it doesn't see anymore that there starts a new row in your table. And if you get this problem, there are two solutions, or in fact even three solutions. The first one is that you simply use tabular new line instead of the double backslash command. The second one is that there was introduced a new command named arrow backslash that you can use after the WreckItRight command to give the double backslash back its original definition, and it's recognized as a row end of the table again. And the third command, not mentioned here but in the proceedings, is there exists an extra package called WreckIt2E that prevents WreckItRight from redefining the double backslash command. Another improvement is the WreckIt2E package introduces a WreckItRight command that preserves the hyphenation in the left justified, in the flush left paragraphs. Okay, so this just as a note where you will get some problems if you don't know it. So let's get back to the tabular X package. If you have more than one X column in your tabular X table, you maybe want to balance them. So the default is that they grow all the same, but in some times it is not that what you want, because in one column you have relatively few text and in another column you have more. And so maybe you want to have that the first X column is just one third of the width of the second X column. You can do this by manually balancing the X columns with redefining the H size command. So you, if you want that your first X column is simply half of the width of the second X column, you just say for the first one H size is set to 0.67 H size, and the on the second X column you say H size is set to 1.33 H size, and then you get that the second one is twice the width than the first X column. The only thing you have to care about is that the sum of all H sizes adds up again to the number of all X columns. In most cases this is okay, because you don't have so many X columns, you can do it manually. If you want to do it automatically, there exists another package just named tabular Y. We can wait, maybe some days there will be a package tabular Z, nobody knows. Okay, and for example, here you can see the result that here the second X column, the one with more text, is twice the width than the first X column that is labeled with text. So it works roughly, and if you do it manually, it's not that complicated. This slide is used to add some lines to the table, and LaTeX table and lines is quite a sad story, because the way that LaTeX uses to use lines and tables is rather poor. It is really has nothing to do with high quality typesetting. You see here an example. If you use double lines, they are separated. That's a bad point. If you use horizontal lines and you have contents in your cells, that's a big higher than the normal line height, you will see that they begin to touch the horizontal lines. It doesn't look really good. Besides the fact that, okay, you wouldn't typeset a table like this, but if you do, you see the result is really ugly. Okay, What can one do to improve it a bit? The first thing is you can add some extra space between the rows. There exists a length in LaTeX that is named extra row height. And if you want, you can set it, for example, to 4 points. And then you will prevent most of the cases where you have table cells touching the horizontal lines. So that is the first step you can do. The second step, if still some cases remain where the contents of the cell touches the lines, you can add invisible rules. So rules that have zero width but have a non-zero height, and you can use it to push the lines away. For example, you could add a rule with a width of 0 point and height of 18 point, and probably that will push the horizontal line away from the contents of your cell. That's a fine trick if you want to do it. You can see it on the next slide. So the first thing that was done here is that an extra row height of 4 point was added. So you see that in the rows with label text and more text, that's okay. And in the last row, it looks okay too, but in the second row with the label 1, it wouldn't have been enough, and there I added this invisible rule that I made visible in red here for illustration. But if you just use it with a width of 0 point, LaTeX knows it's there, but you won't see it. Okay, so this is slightly better, but you still won't think it's a nice table. So what you have still here is that you have this strange double line that is separated vertically. It doesn't look really good. There's an extension named HHLine you could use, where you can define better looking double lines. But normally I advise not to use this package and to have a look what typesetters say. For example, if you look in the documentation of the package booktabs, you will see some advices, and the first advice is avoid vertical lines in tables. And if you, for example, look into Physical Review and the journals of the American Mathematical Society, you will see all the tables just have horizontal lines normally. From a typesetter's point of view, this is more convenient. The second advice is to avoid double lines. They don't look really good. And you will see later how the lines that booktabs could use will look like, and you will see it's much better. Okay, so my advice is use the package named booktabs, and in booktabs you have new commands for horizontal lines, no commands for the vertical lines for the reasons mentioned above, and you can use lines that have a meaning if they are a top rule on top of the table, or they are mid rules between table rows, or they are bottom rule. And booktabs not only adjust the width of the lines, but also the spacing below and above, and makes it much better looking. There's a CMAT rule command where you can use lines that just go across selected columns of your table. And if you remember this, not so nice commands where you had to define an extra row height, or you had to play around with rules. Here your life is easier, you just have a command add line space if you want to add additional spacing between table columns, table rows. Okay, so let's have a look how the example from before will look with booktabs, but simply replacing the H lines that have no appropriate spacing in LaTeX with the appropriate commands with top rule, mid rule, and bottom rule. And you see that these lines introduce some new typographic meaning in your table because they have different widths and they have appropriate spacing. And besides the point that the contents of all these columns looks rather weird because someone is typesetting text with a lot of different sizes, you will see, okay, at least the table lines, the lines in the table, they are fine. Okay, so this is my advice. Don't play around with the lines in your table by yourself. Better use booktabs and use the appropriate commands for horizontal lines defined there. Okay, here's another example from the booktabs package that is more realistic. This is just a price table, and you see it really looks fine if you use the commands that were defined there. Okay, for the last topic in my talk, I will go to tables that are spanning multiple pages. That is a problem that you often have, that you have a table that becomes too large for one page, or it doesn't fit because it's on the bottom of the page and you don't know where to put it because it's a problem to find an appropriate position and so on. You can have tables that where are line breaks allowed inside the table, and for this there exist two major packages. Unfortunately, they have a totally different syntax. First one is the supertabular package, and the second one is the long table package. More or less they do the same. There's one big difference. I don't think it's so important. Long table keeps the column widths along the whole table, so it will remind the widths for the columns it calculated along the whole table, while with super tabular you can have different column widths on every page of the table. So both problems have some both packages have some problems with multi-column or two-column environments, especially long table. You won't be successful with this. Okay, personally I normally use long table for a reason I will mention later, and the only thing you have to do is you define instead a normal table, you define a long table, and you can define a table head that is used on any page that is a continuation page, that is just everything that is defined before the end head command. You can define a special head for the table on the first page of the table, that is what is coming before the end first head command. You can define a foot that is used on the bottom of the table on any page when the next page of the table is following, that is everything defined before end foot, and you can define the foot of the table on the last page of it, that's of course before defined before the end last foot. So these are the preliminary commands you can use for define the table heads and table foots, and after that your table is typeset as any other table too, and LaTeX cares for the line breaks. Of course, line breaks are only allowed between the columns and not between the table rows and not inside the table columns, the table cells. Okay, and now the reason why I prefer long table, it is because I quite often had the problem I wanted to have a table across multiple pages, and I wanted to have a tabular X environment because I wanted to have a paragraph like column that goes automatically to the full width of the text, for example. And there exists a package named LTX table. On the title of the slides is a typo, it's in reality named LTX table. And it's just the combination of tabular X and long table. The only thing you have to do is that you have to use an external file for your table that is read multiple times during the compilation of your document. So you can add an LTX table with a given width, and you have to give the name of the external file, and in this external file you can just have a long table where you can use X for the automatically growing table columns. So this was my really short an overview of supporting packages for typesetting tables. Of course, 30 minutes is definitely not enough to mention everything. You see, I left out color tables. There would be other packages like dcolumn you can use to typeset table columns with decimal numbers that are aligned along the decimal point, and so on and so on. And if you want to have a short overview of all these packages mentioned in this talk, and not mentioned in this talk, you can have a look into the LaTeX companion, where I mainly based the talk on, and the second edition of the LaTeX companion. There is a chapter of about, I think, 50 or 60 pages, only covering all these packages for typesetting tables in LaTeX. And as another reference, there's an article by Lapo Filippo Mori, that was published in the PragTech journal in the web in the first edition of this year, 2007, and you can find it under this URL. Okay, thanks a lot. I hope you enjoyed this talk and maybe some questions. Thanks a lot.